B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hello, hello. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand. What's up, Zol?
Hey, what's going on, Beetle? Great. Is Hardy not here?
I'm here, but
you got video issues, huh?
I don't know what's going on.
We got to get a new buffering thing. That thing of me running around the old garden entrance there. Yeah, another month, be down at Cape, getting that boat. I'm going to drive that damn boat in a circle. Just make waves, circles, and scream. And just floor that sucker. Balls to the walls. Let's go.
Excellent.
We're going to get that for the buffering.
Make sure someone gets a good video.
I got a drone. Film it.
Oh, you're going to do it from a drone?
Yeah.
Wow, high tech.
I don't want to upset your standing in the Freedom Boat Club by doing that. You better be careful.
Why? It'll be with our boat. That's great advertisement right there.
All right.
You do that. You can drive boat in circles out in the water. Can't do it through a waterway. You know, can't do it through a channel. But
Billy did
it. Water.
Billy did it on Golden Pond. He took the Thayer 4 out and spun that thing around.
Billy couldn't see because, you know, the front of that boat got so far up in the air. And his ass is in the back, and you got that little motor, and that motor's down, and you can't trim it up. Billy can't see. You don't know where the rocks are. You don't know where Walter is.
Well, that's why you shouldn't go into Purgatory Cove. I'm not taking my boat into Purgatory Cove. Oh, yes, you are, Charlie. I'll navigate.
Happy birthday, Norman. Happy birthday. We're not doing this again. We might today.
But you are.
We might. We got some good plans for today.
Happy birthday to you.
Hello.
NHL player poll on The Athletic today, fellas. Here's what
it says. Oh, hockey. We're starting hockey today.
We haven't talked hockey in a while.
Jesus.
Let me read from the story that The Athletic NHL staff put together. It says, we're starting to get the sense that hockey may actually return in the not-too-distant future. Or at the very least, the NHL wants to return. We know the NHL draft is probably right around the corner. We know the NHL is looking into hub cities to host games once it gets the okay from government and health officials to resume play. There are a lot of different return-to-play scenarios out there. The question is, do the players actually want to resume the season? Over the last week, the beat reporters at The Athletic anonymously polled players to ask their thoughts on returning to play this season. In all, we reached 57 players from 22 different teams. Among those 22 teams, we would break them down as so. 5 Stanley Cup contenders, 4 playoff locks, 8 teams on the bubble, and 5 lottery teams. So, let's get right to the actual voting results, and then we can figure out what they mean. Here are the 3 options players had when asked, would you like to see the 2019-20 season play out? Option 1 was just cancel the whole thing. Option 2 was some regular season and playoffs. And option 3 was straight to the playoffs. Let's start with this. What would you vote for, Zoe?
I would vote for to cancel the season. Period.
End it.
Yes,
no more playing.
End it. No more playing. And I've been saying this all along. I think hockey's got the toughest road to get back because of them just absolutely hitting the wall. You got mojo created throughout the whole year, right? Trends in hockey. You know, you could fire coaches midseason. You could get hot. Then all of a sudden you stop. You hit a brick wall. I've heard Marchand talk about it. I've heard Krug talk about it. Bergeron in these little Zoom things. We got to get on ice. We got to skate. Like we haven't skated. It's a different feeling with your legs. I didn't play hockey, obviously, but I would say they would have the toughest time to come back. And the longer you wait, I think this is a gun to the head with the National Hockey League. We're saying, oh, we got to get back. We got to get back because I don't think our players want to play. I wouldn't want to play. I would not want to play. Because now what? You're going to force me to hurry up and skate and maybe get a groin injury or a hamstring injury or quad? Now we're going to have, what, 2 weeks of regular season? And we're going to have, oh, real playoffs? Congratulations, Stanley Cup champs. What about the teams? What about the players that have had no chance for the playoffs? You think those guys would want to just come back for 2 weeks and just play games to help those playoff teams get ready? I think hockey's got a tough go at it here. I would vote not to come back.
I think you're past the point of comeback. Straight to the playoffs, and that may include playing a play-in game for the bubble teams. You know, whether that's 8, 9, however many teams you want to include in that, just to determine who those last seeds are. That would be part of the playoffs. That would not be regular season hockey. It would be head-to-head matchups. Straight to the playoffs would be my option. And that was second. Hardy, what would you do?
I would go straight to the playoffs. And I know the players, you know, there's a lot of them who have very strong feelings about it. Not having any ramp-up time other than, you know, practice skates. But as a fan,
You see what you're doing. This should be only two. You should have two choices here. What I said and what you two guys said.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a middle.
And by the way, the players, I think
it's fair to make three options out of this. Those are three different scenarios.
I understand that, but I think
there's
two realistic ones. Not playing and going right to the playoffs.
Well, 63.2% of the players said that they would like some regular season and playoffs. And I think so. That result, that came in overwhelming number for number one. That was the first one that was listed. Second was straight to the playoffs, 24.6% of the players. And 12.3% of the players said just cancel the whole thing. I think that 63% represents what Zoe is talking about and what Marchand has talked about and Krug has talked about, which is the time it's going to take to get ready to play. And I think they're fearful of that. I think it's out of fear that they want to make sure they get some tune-up games before they play in the playoffs.
We're sitting here, what is this, May 6th, right? Cinco de Mayo yesterday. And you still got two more weeks to the 18th. And like the governor said, this isn't a shotgun start. We could push it back more if people don't listen and take care of themselves. And if we don't have that continued downward trend, hockey might not be able to skate for another month, which is scary for these guys. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them the most out of any of the sports. Because your season's rolling. You got a hell of a team here. They could be a favorite. Could have a great Stanley Cup deep run. Could possibly win the cup. And you've hit a freaking brick wall. And this thing keeps getting pushed back. They get the toughest go because of the cardio. And the way your legs have to feel.
But there is another explanation as well, and that is that of the players they polled, and they considered 8 bubble teams, 6 of those teams would not make the playoffs today if they decided to go straight to the playoffs. And of those players that they talked to that were on those bubble teams identified by The Athletic, 70% of them were in favor of playing regular season games. 70%. 24% said straight to the playoffs and 6% said canceled the season. So you could really combine those and say 30% say it's over, I'm done. But 70% said, yeah, we got to get back and play because they want to see if their team can make their way into the playoffs.
For all the teams that aren't going to the playoffs, for all the teams that aren't going to the playoffs, you're going to get your team back together. You're going to skate for a few weeks. You're going to have practices. You're going to open up the building. You're going to get the TV people on there for what, 3 games?
Yeah.
You're going to spend 3 weeks ramping up to play for 6 days. It doesn't even make sense. Go to the playoffs. It doesn't make sense.
To bring back teams, especially teams that have no shot, never mind the teams that might have a slim chance of breaking into the playoffs. One Western Conference player told The Athletic, I get why the league wants to play the regular season, but I just don't think it makes sense for every team to come back for a few games. What's the point for the teams that are out of the playoffs? And that's the point you just made, Hardy. There is no point. Yes. None. You're going to bring back staffs. You're going to get a team ready. No, it doesn't make any sense. And those players, I imagine, are completely ready to be done and are thinking, no, I'm not going back.
Right.
I'm not going back to this.
And not even the injured guys, but just guys who are banged up by the time these guys started playing in March. And they're, you know, that probably accounts for the majority of the league. Guys who are like, man, I am feeling something. I am dealing with something. For them, they shut it down. Wait, you want me to ramp it all back up to play 2-3 games and then shut it down again for 2 months? What for? What are we doing? Like, no, I got a jump start on my rehab for next season. Don't make me screw it all up by going out there, and conditioning is one thing, but you want me to go out there and play? For what? We're not making the playoffs. The teams would be better served health-wise for their players, for the ones that aren't in it, to not go out there and play any more games. Not now.
But much like Zoe, I can tell that you don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to pull it off and get it together.
I don't know what I mean. We're in a different world. We have no.
Yeah.
There's no light here. There really isn't.
And I think players feel the same way based on their comments in the story. Like, I want to play, but I want to know what the isolation is going to be.
The mentality.
Are we trapped in a hotel? Can I not see my friends, my girlfriend, my parents?
Are we playing in front of crowds? I mean, is this going to be a Stanley Cup environment? I mean, are we going to do playoffs, real playoffs, or is this going to be an asterisk playoffs?
He says, do we have to play all divisional teams to make the playoffs? How do you play our sport when it's impossible to social distance on the ice or on the bench or in the locker room or in the workout room? Heck, in the shower. The long list of problems seems endless, said one player. Said another one, do I think it's likely to happen? Not really. Seems like there are too many things to overcome to make that work right now, and no one really has an answer for when it's going to end. The worst part of it is if we do come back and play, and whatever team goes on to win, they will always have an asterisk beside them. And I think that's an unfortunate part of it, even if they were to play the entire playoff run, is that no matter what the result is, no one's going to feel good about it.
No. But, think about
I'd like to see them try.
But the mentality of the professional athlete and how they're wired, your amount of focus, and specifically in that sport, the attention to detail, and for guys like that are goalies, think about the 18,000 other things you have to worry about as you come back and it's not the norm. And then you're expected to go out there and play to the best of your capabilities. I think you're putting these guys in an unfair advantage. I think hockey, you're starting to see the end of hockey here. I think we're pushing it. We're pushing it. League's pushing it to get back, and I think players are hesitant. The fact you even have 12% voting to cancel the whole season, that's a pretty high number. That's double digits. It's not like 3% vote to cancel it. So.
And the ones that are even in favor of playing have their doubts about whether or not it will happen. So getting hockey back, how should it look? Go right to the playoffs. That's what I say. That's what Hardy says. Zoe says you're fighting an uphill battle. You're not going to win. So your thoughts on the NHL coming back and what that could look like. And the Bruins seem to be at a little bit of a disadvantage. We'll talk about that coming back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, before they can get into that bubble, we first have to get to phase two, getting the players back together. What's the latest timetable for that, Drakes?
Well, the NHL is hopeful, James, that they'll be able to initiate phase two in later May. But that's all subject to a review, and it is too early to start the review process. The NHL, though, guys, is encouraged by the markets that are loosening up, but they're cautiously optimistic and monitoring carefully to see if there will be any setbacks. The motto is simply better safe than sorry. Phase two, though, can't really get started until the large majority of the NHL teams are able to open up, and that means players coming back. But here's an interesting twist to all of that. Even though the majority of clubs may be able to open up, unless they can all open up at the same time or around the same time, the NHL isn't going to allow players to go to their club facility again until the majority are able to do that.
Dreger talking about facilities in the NHL. According to Dreger, the NHL is aiming for a late May phase two until open the facilities. When the majority of facilities have the ability to open, that's when the NHL will send their guys back to their facilities. The NBA, by the way, is going to try and do theirs again this coming Friday and open up their buildings. More on that coming up.
Well, that assumes all states are open, right? And sort of on the same even playing page, right?
With what? With the NBA? I mean,
are you going to clear guys to go back to facilities? Say you got an uptick in, or you got a spike, and you pull back on things, restrictions within the state. mean, are they going to?
Are you talking about the NBA or
NHL? NHL.
Oh yeah, I mean they're waiting for the majority, yeah, okay, as they put it.
Yeah.
One of the questions I've also seen raised is right now passing from the States to Canada and vice versa. You know, travel restrictions that are in place at the moment, which could be a hurdle for the NHL. So we'll wait and see what happens. But as it relates to the Bruins, so you've talked about it. I know players on the Bruins have talked about it. They seem to be at a disadvantage because they have an older roster.
Yeah.
And younger guys may be able to easily get back into the swing of things. It might take the Bruins a little bit more time than it would other teams.
Sure.
Look at their roster. I mean, Zdeno Chara.
You could also look at it as, okay, maybe the month and a half off has helped a guy like that also, because we talk about him in minutes that he requires and how taxed he is at the end of the year, and he looks almost gaunt. It could also help them from that aspect, but I think coming back once you stop hurts the older athlete. There's no question. Absolutely,
yeah,
no question. Look at Ortiz.
You're right about the rest part, though. You're right about the being rested and having.
There's two ways. Yeah, there's two ways to look at it. But I'd be more pissed if I was the Bruins. Like, we did all this, got our team perfect to balance the old with the young, and the young guys coming up and coming on. And next thing you know, we got to stop, and now we got to ramp it back up again. You know, just F it. Screw the whole thing. You know, other teams could have other guys coming back from injuries to help them. How's this fair to us and what we've done and what we've built? There's too many things up in the air right now.
Well, there's a lot
of
stuff.
You need a date.
There's a lot of stuff up in the air, but in terms of the fairness, look, I get it. If you're a team on the outside looking in, and you don't have a chance to be a part of these playoffs going forward, and your season ended, that's fine. But it's just an extension of what is already in place. You know, those teams that don't make the playoffs, they don't go on, they don't have a chance. Other teams are going to be forced into playing more. Some of them probably don't feel they have a much of a chance anyway. I'm sure there are plenty of playoff. There are plenty of guys in that, you know, in that survey who are on playoff teams that voted to end the season because they don't feel that they've got much of a shot at it. There may even be guys on teams that do have a shot at it, but they feel like winning a cup this year would have the asterisk next to it.
I think it absolutely would. Think about that. Say the Bruins.
And this is what I wanted to ask. Yeah, go ahead, so ask it.
Say the Bruins win it. Okay? Say they come back and they go straight to the plus and Bruins win it. Stanley Cup parade. What's the turn up?
There isn't one. There wouldn't be one.
It's to the point of it all.
Oh, like, who cares about a parade?
Right.
No, seriously?
Who cares about that? No. Let's talk about the path to getting there, though.
Everything.
Where there's no going into a hostile environment and a hostile building.
Right.
And you're just going to another empty, sterile arena where there is no real home advantage anymore for anybody other than you get to sleep in your own bed, I guess, when you're home. The home road thing sort of goes out the window. You might as well play it at a neutral site at one of these hubs. And we're going to look at it and say, yeah, they won in that shortened pandemic year where they didn't even have any fans in the building and there was no real obstacles outside of just playing hockey in a very sterile environment. Like, that doesn't mean as much. And I don't think it's wrong to say that it wouldn't mean as much. And for the Bruins, given where they've been, they won in 2011, they've been back twice and haven't been able to seal the deal. If they got the win this time, we would all look down upon it. Even Bruins fans would look at it and say, yeah, I wish they had won one of the other two they had been to and not that pandemic, pandemic cup final.
What do you think, Mark, I disagree.
It's all on how you frame it. It's all on how you go back and look at it in the aftermath, where if it does come back and people are as star for sports as they say they are right now, the ratings for the Stanley Cup final aren't going to be the anemic ratings that they normally get. Everyone's going to be watching, and everyone's going to remember this one. And this one will stand out.
Are you sure? Because if they're back, everything else is back, too. Baseball's back. The NBA is back. They're going to have the same competitors they normally have.
I don't know that. I don't know what's coming back and what isn't at this point.
Okay, well, I'm going to make the assumption that the NHL is the hardest path back. So if they make it back, the other one should have made it back, too.
That's fine, but you're still going to remember this. This is going to be the standout. This is going to be the one that was different from all the other years. And talk about the hurdles. Oh, you didn't have to play in an unfriendly environment.
Would this be better than 2011?
They're not lobbing grenades down onto the ice. No, nothing's going to be better than 2011. That's the one. That's going to be the one that stands the test of time for a long time.
Would it be better than had they won last year?
Yes.
No.
No way.
No way.
Yes.
You're crazy.
Absolutely not. last year.
Not better, but different. It's going to be different. What's wrong
with
being different?
People already exploded last year.
You guys automatically equate different with not as good. It is going to be more memorable than a lot of other Stanley Cup champions that we've seen throughout the years. I mean, who cares? It's another team celebrating on either their home ice or, by the way, the celebrations that take place on the visitors' ice. Yeah. So what? It lacks something. What you remember from the Bruins winning in 11 is Vancouver rioting afterward. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have all the juice and all the things that you automatically think of. Oh, to be able to raise the cup in front of your fans. Well, there's only a 50-50 chance you do that anyway. So let's throw that out the window for a second. You're saying that the players would somehow be looked down upon as winning it in this year. I say if you come back after this long layoff, you can frame the story however you want. Yeah, the Bruins were playing well, but when they came back, they played even better, and they showed what a real team is. Guys, a team that's composed of both veterans and of younger guys who were healthy and ready to go. They were well-coached, and they were the best team. That shows you who the best team is, not just the team that made it to the finish with the least amount of injuries and rode the hot goaltender into the playoffs. No, you started from a baseline of zero after resetting the season after all this time off, and you found out who the best team was in a very short period of time. I think it would be a great story.
With an asterisk next to it is what it would be. At the end.
An asterisk.
But you just think about that. With the spoke B, you could sort of do the you could sell shirts with the asterisk on the front. Gold asterisk.
Right
black
in the
shirts.
Middle of the B?
Tom, 47 brand. Get your brother going. Get the asterisk behind the B instead of the spoke. Huh?
I just think
so what's your best case scenario that hockey comes back and the Bruins don't end up winning it all because it won't mean as much to you? Is that
no,
what
we still of course would want it to happen.
What's the last they played? March 8th?
I'm just saying I can understand why a player who was quoted in the story feels like it's not worth it because he doesn't think it's going to be as valuable. I would disagree. I'd say, come on, you would still want to win it. You'd still want to come back and be a part of that. But I do understand the thought that it's not as valuable and it's not going to be as great as it typically is. I don't think there's any problem saying that.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to go to Foxwoods and drink a $100,000 bottle of champagne immediately afterwards.
I'm talking about the games themselves. Don't you think that's
special? Why not?
Don't you think you're thinking like a grown-up, not like this 20-year-old that got quoted in the story who is experiencing all these things for the first time. We've seen all that. We've done all that as a sports fan.
You don't think that there's value in the Bruins going to Montreal and winning there when they have in the playoffs in years past, or that they don't have ghosts there, that they don't have things that make them nervous when they hit the ice, and that there's something to overcome when it makes the wins more valuable? Doesn't every team have a place they hate to go, a place that rattles them? Doesn't that exist? Don't you believe in that?
Sure yes, does. And I believe there will be value in doing it in an empty arena where
North
you've
Dakota.
Just got where you've just got two teams out there, and you really find out who the best team is. There's value in that too. You know what? I'd like to see it before I make my decision on it. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I'm the idiot here that I'd actually like to see it happen before I can tell you whether it's better, worse, or the same in the other championships. Forgive me for not being able to make up my mind before any of this has ever happened in the course of human history.
We'll
I don't know. Maybe
it's set
now. Maybe you know what?
We'll
I am the idiot.
Beetle.
I'm sorry.
How the sports go during the pandemic.
Why do you drop the puck?
If you're asking me what I think it will mean something different, and I think some of those things will be good, some of them will be bad. I am not willing to say, it doesn't mean as much, it's not as good. I don't think that way. I think there will be some really cool elements to it that we can't foresee.
Well, I think we can all agree that we hope it happens. Even if you don't think it's going to happen, Zoe, you want it to happen. We'd all rather it happen than not happen.
We just did a half hour on this. This is great. This is what we want. This is what we need. We do sports, even with stupid.
There's the promo right there. Cut it. Cut it right there. Zolak and Bertrand, 10-2. We do sports, even stupid. Yep.
That's our rejoin. Screw a promo. That's our rejoin.
That's what I'm talking about. Put that in the rejoin. Yeah. Some Patriots items. And
have
of course
you noticed that our rejoins are starting to sound more and more like our fake promos?
Yes, which is
like
fun.
But that's our show.
I love that.
But that's our show.
That's who we are.
That's why people like us.
Some Patriots items to throw into the mix along with your calls on the NHL. We'll do that all next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The NFL schedule comes out tonight at 8 p.m. We'll theorize on that later on in the show today.
Tonight?
Tomorrow night. Oh, what did I say? Oh, sorry. Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Come on, Beetle.
You got me excited for a second.
Losing track of the day.
Why would you be confused on what day it is, Beetle? I have no idea why you'd be confused.
Yeah. My apologies. Losing track of some of the days. Dante Scarnecchia no longer with the Patriots, though. They have... They've come up with a plan to replace him, and it involves multiple coaches. How do you feel about this transition?
I love it because, one, you can't get more Italian than one. You got a guy named by the name of Carmine in there, Gustafsson, you know. I'm just kidding. So Popovich, he's a guy that's been here for 2 years. Carmine was here a year ago. I heard David Andrews talk about both these guys. He said it's not like any of us don't have relationships with it, like we're bringing in somebody completely from outside the building. So they've been where with Scar, and from the tone that Andrews is talking, he's like, Scar's always there. We understand it. It's sort of like maybe Scar's handpicked these guys. And I think Scar's going to be there in a consultant role. He may come in like once a week to help them maybe on game plan day or offensive install day. And then you got to let those guys go deal with it, call them in practice and, you know, call the game because they're going to have to make the in-game adjustments, not Scar. But I could see Scar in an auxiliary role, sort of, not completely getting away from the game of football. I know he's helped them through the combine. Seems like he's been helping them in some of the virtual Zoom stuff. So, We'll see.
Again, I mean, so the two individuals are Cole Popovich and Carmen Brasillo. Those are the two guys.
I thought it was Carmine.
It's Carmen.
Same thing.
They call him Carmen.
He's still Italian. Still Italian.
Carmen Brasillo and Cole Popovich are the two guys, and David Andrews was the one that talked about it yesterday on a Zoom call with the media. Popovich was the assistant running back coach in 2019.
Yep.
That's last year, and Brasillo was also on the staff last year, so they're not new faces in the room. So there is some continuity from Scarnecchia to the two coaches who will take over the duties on the Patriots coaching staff.
Is there concern there? Yes, it's concern there because it is new, it's fresh, and I think you had a very difficult schedule, but caution you going back to last year when you thought, okay, Greg Schiano's gone, you have no defensive coordinator, what the hell are we going to do? We got no defensive coaches. Ends up being a pretty damn good defense, especially at the start of the year, even given the schedule. But I thought Mayo and Belichick, Steve, eased into that as far as the play calling ability. So don't panic just because Dante Scarnecchia is gone. At some point, he's got to retire.
And Popovich has been working under Scar. Popovich was the assistant offensive line coach from 2015 to 2018.
And it wasn't like Googe. Like when Googe came here and it's a completely different coach and then you get rid of him and then he's back. You know, it's not that. No, these guys worked under Scar.
By the way, you described it, though. It doesn't sound like he's really retiring. If he's there for offensive install day and he's there maybe one or two days a week and just the other guys are running the practices. And I know there's more to it. We've all seen over the years, like, how hands-on literally Scarnecchia is, you know, with his offensive linemen and moving them and shuffling them and stuff. But if he's there for a couple of the key days,
then
it's not really a retirement.
That's the feeling. I mean, and that's the feeling I get. And I know Scar. I know Scar really well. I don't think he's a guy that could just shut it down completely. And I think that's what he found out with the last retirement. Like, he had that itch. And I think they're going to say, hey, whenever you want to come help us, just please come help us. I mean, that's the respect Bill has for him. That's the open door policy. He flies around to scout guys, to work guys out. He did this even when he was retired, technically retired. Sort of handpicks guys. That's who they draft. That's who they sign. He knows the type of personnel that they want, the type of player, the type of person. And I just think Scar's a guy that needs this in retirement. His kids are older. His grandkids are older. And I just think it keeps you going a little bit. You know, it's not like you're there 7 days a week flying with the team. Grueling schedule. You have no home life. Maybe one day a week. One day a week, come in for 4 hours and, you know, watch film with the team. What are you thinking? What are you thinking on offense? And then he maybe could tweak some things for him and help him. It's great.
One other Patriots item, coaching related. Bill Belichick is currently the favorite for NFL Coach of the Year. Rob Gronkowski is currently the favorite for Comeback Player of the Year. Which one has the better chance to win the award? Oh, you're thinking too long. It's Bill.
Like Bill does.
It's Bill.
I think Bill does. I don't think the production's going to be there the way people think it is for Rob, but, I mean, Rob's going to have some great plays. Did you see him skating around, how freaking cut up he is? The other day he was on rollerblades promoting some new thing he's got. But there's no bulk on him. So
what's the comeback from? Like taking a timeout? Not wanting to play for Bill anymore? What is he coming back from?
The concussions. They got cured.
Oh, stop.
He told you that had nothing to do with his retirement.
He got sick of playing for Bill Belichick. It's too hard. What's the comeback from? Like partying on the beach in South Beach? What the hell's the comeback?
He is the 24/7 champ when he jumped off that thing and crashed all those wrestlers the other night.
A comeback from wrestling? What is that?
Yeah, it's cool.
I tell you why he doesn't have as good a chance is because he already won it. He already won it in 2014 after he came
back.
Yeah, when he was coming back from a pretty significant injury. Yeah.
How about the respect factor, too? What's he viewed as? You know, what do people view Bill as? You know, workaholic coach, great coach, right?
Right.
And now you got to win differently, win without Tom. That's why Bill's the front runner.
That's what launches you to the front of that pack. It's the guys who do more with less that get those coaching nods. It's not, you know, unless you have an exceptional season like Bill Belichick did when the team went undefeated and they had no choice but to give it to him. I'm sure that pained many of them. But still, I would put my odds on Bill. I would put my money on Bill, I should say.
There's the connotation, too. It's like, you know, and I remember having this conversation a lot when after Tiger won the Masters as to whether or not that was the greatest comeback in sports history. And people got all upset because they thought that, you know, most of Tiger's issues or a lot of his issues were by his own hand. And, you know, some of them were physical, but, okay, well, you know, what do you have to come back from? Well, what would Rob Gronkowski be coming back from? He'd be coming back from his self-imposed exile because he didn't want to play for Bill Belichick anymore. Like, I don't know if that's the type of thing the NFL wants to celebrate with their Comeback Player of the Year award.
Plus everything he's dabbled in and tried to sell you on. I think Rob has worn out people on some stuff. That's all. Especially locally, but maybe not nationally. Who knows?
Mike is in Groton today. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just bring back to the NHL returning.
Yes.
Hardy, I completely agree with you. I just think there's a ton of, you know, opportunities that we can see here, you know, possibility of a 16-plus team playoff structure, maybe having, like, those one-game play-ins like the MLB does, or let's say the Bruins and Flyers play on a neutral site like in Buffalo with their Sabres logo on the ice. I mean, that's stuff that we won't see. And maybe even, like, players being mic'd up, a little more access to, you know, what's being said on the ice, and that could possibly influence future seasons as well. I mean, I just don't think there's going to be any asterisks. I mean, you know, people are going to complain whoever's going to win regardless, just like in 2013 and in 95, I believe it was, and the Devils won. Like, I think people are going to complain regardless, but they're all in the same boat. And as far as, like, the teams out of the playoffs, I'm not really sure. That's the only part that I'm not really sure what they can really do about that. But thanks, guys.
Okay, Mike. Appreciate the call. Frank in Boston on the same thing. What's up, Frank?
Yeah, you know, I just think that you're kind of contradicting yourself when you say there'll be an asterisk next to it, boom, the Bruins won. Because on one hand, you're saying there'll be an asterisk, but you were saying that you want them to win, too.
I'm sorry, I missed that. But there'll be what? At the end?
So on one hand, you're saying there'll be an asterisk after the win, but you're also saying they want you want them to win. So what's the point of them playing?
Why? I don't know why those have to be exclusive or why those are a contradiction.
That you can say
you still want them to play, you still want there to be hockey, you still want there to be a playoffs, but at the end, you think it might mean slightly less than what it would have meant otherwise. Those don't contradict.
I want the Bruins
to say
win.
Both of those
I don't
things.
Think there's going to be a season. That's not a contradiction.
Right. Just because you think it may not be the same, it may not mean as much, that it then doesn't have to happen? Well, no. Have it happen. I think it'd be great. We'd still enjoy watching it. I just don't know that it's going to be viewed. Not just by Bruins fans, by everybody. No matter who it is that wins.
It's going to be viewed differently. It's going to be viewed in what I hope is a truly unique way. And I mean, you know, like, the strictest definition of the word. The only time it ever happened where the entire world got shut down for a period of months due to a pandemic, and then they hit the restart button, and everybody ramped up again, and there was one team that ended up being better than all the others, and it was the team that was better than most every other team for the regular season up until the time they stopped, and that was the Boston Bruins. It's a great story. It's a great story.
I've got another question on this, but I'll leave it for later. There's a meat shortage. It's impacting Zolak's household already. Yep. We'll get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This morning, new concerns about America's food supply. Fast food chain Wendy's becoming the latest company to feel the effects of a pandemic-triggered meat shortage. Reportedly, not able to serve burgers, its hallmark item, in some locations, including California, South Carolina, and Kentucky on Monday. The announcement causing some customers to invoke the franchise's famous catchphrase from the 80s.
Where's the beef?
It comes as more grocery chains are limiting how much customers can buy. With more and more empty shelves, Kroger now says it will limit ground beef and poultry purchases in some of its stores. And Costco is restricting fresh beef, pork, and poultry items to 3 per customer. Now, an iconic pop culture slogan becoming a question for consumers planning their meals in the new normal.
Where's the beef?
Meat shortage, Tyson factory shutting down. I think Smithfield had a shutdown as well. COVID-19, many of their workers being infected. This has impacted Zoe directly.
Yes, it has.
He wants to share this with us today. What's the problem?
Okay. You know me. I'm a hot dog guy.
It's getting to that point. That's for sure.
It's getting to that point in the year where you get the grill out, and a lot of people like burgers and dogs. Okay, so you go to your store. I'm a Big Y guy. I go to Big Y in Franklin. That's my
Sam
that's
the butcher.
That's my ground zero. It's actually Jason's. Jason here, but Sam is the overall Big Y butcher. Jason is the one here at the Big Wine. He'll cut you any steak you need, by the way. And people go up there, and real quick. If you're used to going to your store, Beetle, you might go to Superstop. You know how they have...
Right now, I go nowhere.
Beetle doesn't go anywhere. For anybody else that goes out, the other 99% of you that go to your grocery stores, when you go to your butcher, obviously there's nothing in the window display because they don't put the meat out. They do have meat in the back if you ask if... Say you want some strip steaks cut or some ribeyes cut, they'll cut them for you. They keep them in the back because they keep it all as one because they don't want to plate everything. If you don't have or package, whatever you say, they plate it, then they wrap it. Right. If you go to get your beef and chicken and it's not there, where's the next place you're going to get your food? You go down to where the bacon, the ham, the hot dogs are all stacked up, right? The kibasi, the pickles, you know what I'm saying, right there all together. So I noticed this, and when you know me, I go, I'm a cayenne guy. I'm right here. And for NBC Sports Boston, I got props here. So this is our desired hot dog at home. You open it up, and it's got the natural casing. It's the perfect hot dog. Old-time Frank's. That is Zoe's go-to. The problem is when you have the meat shortage, forces everybody down, and everybody's taking this sucker. Okay? So what happens, you're forced to buy this type of stuff. And right here, this is the Nathan's Colossal Beef Frank. Now, luckily, we found this, and we're happy to have meat, happy to have hot dogs. Zoe doesn't like these kinds because it doesn't have the natural casing. It's like a soft casing. Jim told me this is the red Frank we were talking about, the red meat one from a week ago.
I don't think that is. I disagree with Jim on that one.
You want to see the coloring? And you can see the difference here, okay? So, I mean, it's – you see the cayenne's, like, very light-colored – and get it in front of here. Get very light colored, and this one's a little darker, and it's greasier. It's got a different taste to it. This is your New York hot dog, which I do not like that much. So what's happening? The overflow that is now congregating around the hot dogs and the kielbasa and your other meat products that you are now forced to go where they have the ribs. Maybe you'll get the prepackaged ribs there. Now you're coming down here to our section where now all that stuff's starting to get picked over. You know what I had to do over a week ago? Buy chicken and turkey dogs. You ever have a chicken and turkey dog?
How were they? I've had a turkey dog before.
Absolutely horrendous. You ever have a turkey meatball? You ever go to Italian joint and say, you know what? Give me your famous giant turkey meatball. Yeah,
okay,
it doesn't
hold on
exist.
A second. Have you had turkey tips before?
I have.
And?
Turkey tips are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You ever had turkey bacon?
Yes, it's horrendous. It tastes like rubber.
It's not horrendous.
It ain't
bacon. Now, look, it's not as good
it's
as
regular. It's sort of like
bacon,
winning the Stanley Cup during a pandemic. It's still good. It's just not
yes,
as great.
Beatles right. It's a Stanley Cup win on neutral ice. In neutral ice in South Dakota. Yeah, that's
it's still good. It's just not the best.
But this meat shortage, it could get interesting. The more this thing continues, the more plants that potentially could shut down, and now you're limited to buy.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck trying to have a cookout, man. Yeah, this summer.
Well,
you are such a bitch.
I don't.
The cookout is the
primary concern for most of us. I think it's just, you know,
talk about first world
trying
problems.
To come up with some.
They didn't
some
have
different...
my preferred brand of hot dog available.
You know, my
to
kids,
me.
See, my kids love Ballpark Franks because I think that's the softest one for kids, and they plump when you cook them. It's a nice hot dog.
Oh,
it really
do
is.
They plump when you cook them, Ballpark Franks?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
So this is a perfect situation for you, though. I mean,
what?
Because you don't need to go buy 17 packages of meat. You're in the market every day. You can buy a couple things every day.
Hey, Jim, and this is why. You say, okay, so why does there have so many hot dogs? I've got 17 hot dogs here. Because you know why? When I see it, I buy it. And what you can do is you freeze this stuff. Right now, okay, meat shortage. What do you got in your freezer? What kind of meat you got in your freezer right now?
I have chicken and beef.
Okay, I got rack of lamb. I have the long-tubed ground beefs that are in those massive tubes that I froze when this started about a month ago.
Tubes of ground beef? I didn't know about this.
They sell them. You can find them at Costco's in big tubes.
I've never seen that.
Because you know what? If you buy the other packaged ground beef, like your normal one in the styrofoam thing, that wrapping can rip, and then you get freezer burn on it. I like the tubed ground beef, the big tube. Yeah.
Right. And I think we all have a rack of lamb in our freezer right now, so I'm with you on that
one. Available.
I don't have any mint jelly, though, so I don't know when I'm going to end up cooking it up.
Okay,
my
stupid.
Rack of lamb.
You've termed yourself stupid. You know why I bought the rack of lamb? There was no chicken back when this all started. Remember, you couldn't find chicken anywhere?
That's not a substitute. Lamb is not a substitute for chicken, not in this country.
I have a box of
I was going to grill some chicken. I was going to do some chicken tonight, but instead let's have lamb. No one says that.
I was a big wine. Jason yelled at me because their box of king crab legs is always priced like $118.
Yeah.
It was down to $80 when his stuff started. So I have a box of king crab legs. But that's not me.
I don't know why you're worried about not having food.
Zoe's going to put on a Vegas buffet in his kitchen. King crab legs, lamb, you know, everything
it's
under
not
the
all
sun.
You can eat. It's not all you can eat. It's one plate. You only get one plate.
Let me ask you something, Zoe. My next door neighbor, his son graduated from law school last Tuesday, or he finished law school.
I can do a party of 10 people only outside.
No, I'm not asking you to host the party. And they were going to have a nice night out, but instead they're going to do something at home. So his mom, who lives next door to me, says, he's never had a king crab leg. He's always wanted it. So she went and bought a singular king crab leg. How much do you think it cost?
Oh, a single one? $8.
Yes.
Yeah.
$30, she said.
No.
That feels like a lot.
It's
Hardy.
Not. She got
it felt
off.
Like a lot to me, too. I don't
did
know.
Buy it from some guy in a white van in a Lowe's
park
lot? FedEx
it from Alaska, overnight it or something? What
gives? I don't know. I don't eat. Look, the last thing in the world I would eat is a crab leg. It's absolutely disgusting.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I can't do it. I I am out on most seafood, but especially anything that you have to dismantle. And it's oh yes, I see exactly what this looked like when it was alive a little while ago. No,
you didn't eat the stone crab, did you? You didn't eat the stone crab when we went out in Miami.
Nope. Nope. I do not do that.
You know what you're missing.
Oh man. Stone crab are the best.
I should get some of those.
$30. I hope it was in the Bering Sea like last night.
Yeah, hope it was cut for her and she was able to declaw it. Yeah.
Okay, so
did the guys from the Deadliest Catch deliver it to their front door? The hell gives on that price?
Yeah, $43 a pound I'm looking at online right here.
Wow.
So yeah, you're saying that one single crab leg was...
That one crab leg was nearly a pound?
Yeah, it was 0.75 pounds. Give me a break. She got taken.
All right.
I'll send you a picture of the box. I'll get the box.
Let her know.
Picture box. Yeah.
You were going to say something else?
Yeah, so, I was going to say. What this has done, though, this meat shortage just forced you to sort of expand your horizons. Because normally I'm a... Yeah, a strip steak, maybe get a ribeye every once in a while, and chicken breast. And that's it. Bang, bang, bang. That's what we're getting more creative with our purchases, and we're sort of branching out to partake of other foods that are out there. So it has sort of made me more worldly with my purchases of food. Yeah, look at that. I would never eat a Nathan's hot dog. I've eaten Nathan's hot dogs because of this.
Now you would. Even though
it's like you're eating Baba Ganoush. I mean, it's unbelievable how your palate is expanding. In these trying times.
That's right. All right, then.
I found a new mayonnaise. This has forced me to do a lot of
things. Well, you didn't because you've had that mayonnaise a number of times before.
This was truthful, this one, not the last one. So.
Right. Okay. 617-779-0985. That's the phone number for you. there's something we discovered in a story that is about online dating. And how your sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.